America is at war. Globalists and leftists have taken over the highest levels of our state and federal government, our state houses, Congress, Supreme Court, and even the highest office of the land. They are indoctrinating our children, corrupting our morals, dividing our people, and attempting to eradicate God. But the weapon they cannot withstand is a people united under God and armed with the truth. Now join Pastor Steve Taylor, Director of Christian Rights Ministries and President of the Alliance Legal Group, for another episode of the Faith and Freedom Network.
Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. This is Steve Taylor, and this is Steve Taylor's Last Days News, and it's great to be on the air with you. And how are you doing today, Freddie?
I am wonderful, sir. How has your weekend been?
Oh, the week is going pretty good. That I'm actually calling in today. I won't be on the video feed, but the calling in from an undisclosed location in Virginia, where we're having what's called an Alliance Defending Freedom Conference, and just stepped in from a gathering and getting ready to go to another gathering, but have enough time to get together with those folks listening today so that we can have a show. Do we have, and again, before we jump Tony on, because he's probably on by now, is Tony on by now?
Tony is on. He's on the phone call, so that means it's just the two of you, so unfortunately we will not be able to take calls today.
Well, I understand that. Unfortunately, that is the case, but that if you're on the air, that you can still get a hold of us by contacting us directly at www.debtfreeva.com. That's my website. At the Alliance Legal Group, www.debtfreeva.com. And again, that's our sponsor of this program, the Alliance Legal Group. I've been a practicing attorney there for going on, since 1995. From a standpoint of either Alliance Legal Group or the law office of Steve Taylor since 1995, about 25, 27 years, I guess it is by now. As a Christian, I got saved in 1999 and turned my practice over to the Lord and been practicing under a Christian Rights Mission Vision Statement to operate a Christ-centered law practice, emphasizing and relying on biblical principles in order to effectively and efficiently serve the legal and spiritual interests of our clients and community and employees and to support the perfect will. And we'd like to help you, too, that if you've got an issue, that we'd like to help you, that we are a general practice law practice. We've got four offices in the Southampton Roads area and one in the Norfolk, Virginia Beach area off Newtown Road, one in Portsmouth across from Maryview, one over there in Great Bridge, and one in Suffolk right on Main Street across from the old Birdsong, if you know where that area is, or across from the old Suffolk High School, the current Cultural Arts Center. Right on the corner of Main Street and Finney there. But those four offices, we do quite a bit in the peninsula as well as we handle cases across Virginia, especially as it relates to bankruptcy. I'm licensed in both the Eastern and the Western District to file bankruptcies all the way up from Arlington over to Bristol to down here in Norfolk. So if you've got a bankruptcy issue, that we do primarily Chapter 7s and Chapter 13s of business-related individual-based bankruptcies. But we have all sorts of different issues when it comes to domestic practice and traffic and criminal and personal injury, you name it, that we'd like to help you. So with all that being said, that they're sponsoring this program, we'd ask you to help take care of them, and also we'll take care of you. With all that being said, that we're talking today about faith and freedom and the last days, and I think we have Tony from, I don't know where he's from today, that he's either from Prescott or from Phoenix, I think from Prescott.
I'm in Prescott.
How you doing today, Tony?
I'm doing fantastic.
From Prescott, okay.
How's the thing going today? How's the conference going?
I spoke to you earlier today, early this morning, that Tony gets up about 5 o'clock in the morning so that he can join our ministry's prayer hour time from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock our time, but 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock his time. And shortly after that, I shared with him what was going on here in And again, the reason it's an undisclosed location is because there's really some folks out there that this is, we have a Christian rights ministry, and that we defend Christians that are being attacked for their faith. And the Alliance Defending Freedom is the ministry that helps support us and that we support them. And we do pro bono work for these folks, and that they provide training, such as the conference that I'm at. But also they provide a respite, almost like a retreat environment, where we start off the morning in a with worship. And we'll talk a little bit about worship today in our own private lives, because I find it so so important that we not give up, we not give in to fear, we not give in to despair, especially when we're on the winning side. And so we'll talk a little bit about that today. But overall, Tony, the things are going very well. Again, that we've had a good conference this morning. We've talked a little bit about CRT. Loudoun County is just full of that critical race theory. That's a county up in their northern Virginia area of Virginia. And I'm telling you that you look at the crazy critical race theory, the mentality that they're pushing on these kids. But it's you cannot have your kids in public school today, because the bottom line is they're being indoctrinated. They're being indoctrinated with racial, radical gender ideology, in addition to critical race theory, that. Everything from pronouns, affirmation by teachers, to bathroom ideology. They put even crazy stuff in guys' bathrooms to try to teach them of the feminine nature and the feminine affirmation they should do to folks that, it's brainwash. So it's crazy stuff going on, but we're learning about it in order so we can fight it. And so what's going on in Arizona?
Oh, it's getting nice and warm. We're still trying to figure out what happened to the election. They've still got their investigation going that go nowhere. We're coming up to a 2022 election that everyone saying is real important. I'm not quite sure how important if it doesn't get fixed as far as the way we vote.
You know, what's amazing is you talk about the election. That plays right into the Christian rights agenda. That the bottom line is they stole the elections in 2020. They've been stealing elections for a long, long time, it was so abundantly clear that they stole it in 2020 and such catastrophic results, as far as that election, it became a very a big issue. But the crazy thing is I've got 2,000 mules, which is apparently, I haven't even seen it yet. It's just being shelved. It's clearly shows election fraud and the elections were stolen, but you never hear about it. That most of the networks won't even discuss it, or even Fox won't even play it, or even give any kind of mention to it. What do you say about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was originally playing in some theaters. And I think most of the theaters have pulled it off their playlist now. There was five theaters in Arizona that were playing it. And they're not showing up. I don't think it's showing up there anymore.
Huh? Yeah. Well, you'd think that it would start showing on. It costs $24.95 for the video. So that's what kind of crazy. It's kind of expensive to just watch a video that you realize is going to come out on the internet. In 10 days or 2 weeks or 30 days. I understand they need to pay for it. There's a big, it's not a conspiracy. Conspiracy, people say, well, conspiracy, it means like it's false. Conspiracy just means people getting together to do a bad thing. And there's lots of bad conspiracies when it's not a theory. It's a fact that not one major media outlet, including Fox, including, any of the so-called conservative, there aren't any really stations playing it. The OAN and what's that other one? They're all in the same. They've all been purchased by the same folks. Whether it's BlackRock or Vanguard, and who's the one that owns the two of them? So the bottom line is that they own the media, so they're not going to play it, and you're not going to hear it, and that nobody seems to get the message. I think there's people out there that might care, but they just don't get the media because they own the media, so you don't get the information out. They own so much that that's one of the big strategies. So that's kind of what's going on in Arizona. That the they're still wondering what the heck happened to the elections. Well, we know what happened. It got stolen. And again, the scary thing is we got about 6 months and then we got another election that's going to be out there. And I haven't seen much change between now and then.
No, you've got some states saying they're not allowing the mail-in ballots. They're not allowing the ballot boxes. They're going to go back to a traditional system. I think you're going to see a major shakeup. I still believe they're going to try and do something. They got to do it quickly. We're in May now. So you got June, July, August, September, October, November. So you got literally 6 months running time before the elections happen. And some elections for some leaders have already happened, and the rest of them happened in November. I didn't realize that. But I'm thinking that they're going to have some kind of a lockdown or something's got to break out again, and you see all the rumors of that happening around the world right now. So I'm not sure what that's going to look like.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got a lot of things in store for us. You know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, Tony and Freddie and folks out there, is, you know, that I wanted to be an encouragement today, that I think the reason that I was supposed to come on today was to give a little bit of hope, you know, and I've seen a lot of folks in my midst, a lot of people that we associate with on a regular basis, really expressing fear about what's going to happen in the next several months, next year, you know, next several years. You know, I had somebody at my office today, you know, somebody wasn't feeling too good, and they said, you know, they need to bring a doctor's note back because, you know, that they, you know, who knows what they may have had and things of that nature. And so, you know, there's still this sort of mentality that we should live in fear. And so that's what we're going to try to dispel today a little bit as Christians. I think that's a good idea because, you know, that as long as we're living in fear, we're not, you know, as 1 Timothy said, that we're not living, he didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us the power of, or he gave us the spirit of love and power and a sound mind. Power actually is the first of love and a sound mind. And so, you know, that the, I think it's important that we not forget who we are in Jesus and what we've been taught as Christians that we're supposed to do in the midst of problems. And so we'll talk a little bit about that today. Tony, let me ask you this. What do you think the biggest problem that we have in this world today is?
Biggest problem we have is this politically correct agenda driving every other agenda they want.
I couldn't hear you. You're breaking up a little bit.
I believe this politically correct agenda driving all the other agendas that say if you say this or you do this, you're just a bad person. Where you're the truth, the gospel says the truth shall set you free. So if I'm speaking the truth about something, I'm setting people free with knowledge they don't have. That's what they want to push back.
Okay, I got it. So
that's the evil. That's the evil side of it.
Okay, so Tony says that it's the, the political sort of issues that we have going on. Is that kind of what I hear you saying?
No, it's how evil is using those. We have a good evil fight, and yeah, how evil is using those as a weapon against us.
Gotcha. All right. So I got it. And so Freddie, what do you think the biggest problem that we're facing today in the world? What do you think the biggest problem? What's causing all the problems?
I think a lack of God is causing all of our problems. But I agree with Tony. I think in this day and age, if you don't say what they want you to say, or regardless if it's media or not media or social media or whatever, you are wrong. I can't tell you how many times I say something or post something, not in a wrong, negative, rude, nasty sense, but being a white male, middle-aged Christian man, I have an opinion about something. I am absolutely wrong about that because people don't want to hear it. It's, you know, Lord forbid you have a different opinion on something, you know? And I think that's our biggest problem. But I agree with Tony. I think it's political correctness and lack of Jesus following that.
Well, I want to add that what drives that is a lack of the understanding of the gospel, the lack of the understanding of the instruction manual we've been given.
Gotcha. So I think you're both hitting on it. And real quick, Freddie, that, you know, you being a white, middle-class, Christian, cisgender, which means that you believe that you don't have gender dysphoria, you don't think you're a girl because you have a penis, and I say that bluntly, that means that you're a man, and so you're not a girl, and you know that, and so that's what they call cisgender. It means you understand that you're a guy and that you're not a girl. That's a problem in today's society, and that you're white and you're middle class and you're Christian, and those are all racist ideologies that basically they need an anti-racist curriculum to correct, and so that's why you're feeling the way that you're feeling, because that's what they're teaching. But you're both hitting on the other issue, and that is that the it's not the political, it's what the enemy's doing with the political, and that the bottom line is when you boil it down to a simple answer, the problem is sin. The problem is sin in the world. You know, and I don't want to oversimplify this, but it's really simple. It really is. I mean, that ever since the garden, we've had one basic problem, one reason that we have a ministry for Christian Rights Ministries, one reason that we have this Last Days Ministries broadcast, is that we have one basic problem as Christian, and that's sin. And it's the greatest obstacle to fulfilling our calling as Christians. We're living in a broken, sinful world. And so the problem that we have isn't the school districts, and it's not the media, and it's not the government system, all of which have been taken over by globalists that are doing really bad things. We need to recognize the biggest problem that we're facing in this world is sin. And that what we also need to recognize is that this sin infects the whole world and everything in it. The bottom line is that one of the things that people get discouraged in is they say, why is everything going so wrong? Well, it's because we live in a broken world that people say, well, but why am I suffering? Well, it's because you're living in a broken world. You're living... that we are going to suffer for the sake of the kingdom. That's just the nature of our reality. We as Americans have lived for a long, long time without a recognition of how sinful this world is, but that exponentially, that it's converging and accelerating because we're nearing the end times. And so one of the things that will help us understand how to deal with our lives and ultimately, how we deal with the problems that we face is to first recognize the source of the problem, and that is sin. That the bottom line is Jesus tells us that we're going to have these kind of problems. You know, he tells us that remember in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, he tells us mm-hmm. that he's going to send us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know, that's not a very encouraging, so if we think that we're having a problem being in our school systems or in our society or having our election stolen from us, you know, it shouldn't surprise us that we're having problems, because, you know, that God, Jesus says he's going to send us like sheep, and they're not the most vicious things I've ever seen. Like sheep's in the midst of wolves, and wolves can kind of be kind of dangerous and kind of, you know, they can eat you. And so, I mean, Well, give me some thoughts on that. Does that seem to be what the problem is, Tony? Do we have a sin problem in this world?
Well, yes, and the definition of the word sin is a word or desire in opposition of the desire and word and law of God. So you're in conflict with who you are as a godly person if you're in a position of sin. Now, you said sheep. Well, there's two things I've noticed about sheep. If you have a large herd of sheep and they turn to defend their animal randomly, rarely, they can overcome a lot of things pretty quickly. A herd of sheep can trample three wolves, but one wolf can cut out a sheep and take it as food pretty easily. So it's all in how the reaction is to the enemy. And I think we have to understand with sheep to the slaughter. Again, I'm going to say, I'm just talking to your brother. To live is Christ, to die is gain, is a unique perspective to understand. If I don't fear that which can kill me, I'm conscious of it, I'm aware of it, but it doesn't rule my day, it doesn't rule my life. And I know this more now than ever because of this crazy dysautonomia disease I got. They keep wanting to tell me, hey, I'm going to be gone in a couple of years, and I'm kind of telling them I don't think so. But that's what they keep wanting to convince me, because that's the narrative they want to convince people who are sick. You have to be worried. I'm not worried. I'm uncomfortable a lot of times. I'm in pain a lot of times. But I go through my day. I came and saw you. I drove across country. I did things abnormal to someone in my condition because I don't want to let my condition dictate me. If I'm in a sinful position, I have to understand my sin and not want to do that and live outside of that with God and let him guide me in it. That's a hard concept for people to get.
Well, and so I think we're saying the same thing, that we live in a sinful world. So it's hard to function in a sinful world, that, you know, there's bad folks out there doing bad things, trying to cause us problems. You know, they're the wolves and we're the sheep, and Jesus sent us out in the middle of this stuff, and it can be a little bit discouraging, suffering, Jesus says that we're called to do two things. One, believe on him, and suffer for him also. So the understanding that we're in a sinful world is a good help to, you know, so that when we have people that are going through problems and they're really getting discouraged, you know, that the first thing we have to explain to them, there's a sin problem, that ever since the garden and ever since then, that we've had the devil trying to cause us problems, and it's a sin problem. And so, but the second thing is that we need to understand is that Jesus tells us not only that he's going to send us into like sheeps and the wolves, but to fear not, you know. And I mean, I'm just telling you, Freddie, there's a lot of stuff that we could fear right now. We got economic disaster looming on us, that we have, like you said, that all kinds of persecution happened just because of the fact that you're not, you know, that you're being attacked because of your the fact that you're a middle-aged white guy. And so that to boot a Christian, which is not a good thing. And that we have all kinds of perils in our daily lives, you know, that but that Jesus tells us that we're not supposed to fear. We're in a sinful world. We've been called to live in a sinful world, that we've been placed at the end of the age. But he tells us over and over again not to fear natural disasters, not to fear, he says, yeah, that one verse says, beware of men, for that they will deliver you into the courts and flog you in the synagogues, you know, so that, but he says, don't fear that. He says, you're not going to lose one hair on your head. He says, don't worry about what they can do. Don't fear them that can kill the body, but they can't do nothing with the soul. I can kill the soul. He says, fear me. So, you know, that he says not to fear those that can kill you, that can cause you problems, but that can't kill your soul. You know, that he tells us not to fear, because we haven't been given the spirit of fear. So, you know, that if we don't have, you know, when you're talking to somebody that claims to be a Christian, they're just fearful. They don't love anybody. That they don't act like that they want to care for anybody to see those people go to heaven, and they don't have a sound mind. You know, the real question is you know, what's going on with that person? That we should not fear. We should love. You know, that John 4 tells us that that we know that God is love, and that if we're Christians, that, you know, love casts out fear. And so that's the second thing, is that we shouldn't be fearful. We know there's a sinful world, but that we should not be fearful. So expound on that a little bit, Tony. That I'm laying a 1-2-3 punch. I got a number 3 punch coming. You know, that the one is we're in a broken world too. That we're not supposed to fear. Both those things are things that Jesus had put us here specifically telling us that's what's going to happen. But give me your thoughts on where we're going so far.
Well, it's perspective. The world right now wants to tell us things are really bad, everything's in chaos, and the end of all things is coming, it's going to get really bad. And they do that so we buy into their solution. Our solution is not their solution. Our solution is Jesus. Our solution is God. So in the process, I have to learn how to stand in places that are uncomfortable. And I'm not standing in me. I'm standing in what I believe. I'm standing with Him. I'm standing with God. And in the process, I'm an example to others who are going through the same thing. Someone's struggling, they say, man, that guy Steve and Tony aren't really worried too much about what's happening in the world. They're telling us what's going to happen. They're warning us, but they're not saying, oh, my gosh, go buckle yourself down into a bunker somewhere and hide. They're saying, be prepared, understand what's coming, and you'll get through it. We'll get through it together. That's different than being, oh, my gosh, I got to go hide in a bunker.
Yeah, I think it's definitely about mindset. You know, what reminds me of like Psalm 37, you know, David. You know, David always had problems. He always had persecutions. But, you know, in Psalm 37, he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And, you know, he says that they'll be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. And he says, trust in the Lord and do good, and you'll do well in the land, and barely thou shalt be fed. And so, you know, what he's telling us is, you know, that word fret not, it's the word that says, don't become angry. You know, people get so angry that they're hatred, you know. Don't have hatred. Don't be incensed. Don't be filled with that heat of vexation. Don't, you know, we see that because, you know, these people are doing bad things to there are no good people, let me say that. But they're doing things to people that don't deserve to be treated the way that they're being treated, and that people get angry, but Jesus said, or David through the Holy Spirit tells us to fret not because of evildoers. You know that you know, he says have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And so, you know, we see people getting angry all the time. We see people just hating, and it's because that. They're fearful. They're fearful of what's, they don't have what's going to happen here. This is the key right here. The reason people get hateful, is because they're fearful. And so we know that there's a world of sin. We know that Jesus tells us not to fear, but why? Well, this is why. So what he tells us throughout his word, and the thing that we have to do, is we have to recognize that despite diesel going up crazy amount of money, despite the fact that we have, you know, like I think it's Habakkuk was saying that we don't have any food in the shelves, and the sheep in the stalls are not having babies. That's kind of a paraphrase. He's saying that we need to recognize that God is in control, and that He's got a great ending planned. You know, it's like David was saying, he says, fret not for evildoers, because God's going to take care of this, you know. And so the problem that we use to get through all of this as Christians is recognizing, one, there's sin in the world, two, that we shouldn't fear, because Jesus tells us not to fear. And the reason that we should not fear is ultimately, number three, that God is in control and He has a great ending planned. And so that we can function much, much better with power and with love and a sound mind when we start recognizing that none of this is taking God by surprise. The high gas prices, the high food prices, the CRT in the schools, the everything, that, I mean, God doesn't want it there, but He's going to use it for the good of ultimately a good ending. You see where we're going on this, Tony?
Yeah, I do. I'm gonna read you three scriptures, and this is how I look at what's going on right now. So this is Psalms 118:6. The Lord is with me; I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
That's right.
Okay, this is John 14:27. Peace. This is just when Jesus is leaving. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And this is Deuteronomy.
Right.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So think about
because
those three verses. What's he trying to say? So what we're talking about here is it's kind of like when you were younger, you read these positive PMA books to help improve your mind so you could be more successful was the thing they always told you. Well, then you realize all these people were based on biblical verses. Their whole theme was biblically based on a lot of them. Some weren't, but most were. So in the process, they were teaching you concepts that should teach you this. And in the process, he's been trying to teach us this from the beginning. He gave us a book that, if we read it correctly, it's an instruction manual on how to build a person, a house, a fortress that stands up to the test of time, that can't be destroyed by man, only by God. So if I understand that, no matter what happens, in the end, I win. I live, it's Christ. I die, it's gain. Either way, I'm in a better place at the end. So my whole goal is to get through this as the best representation of him as I can be, and tell as many people about him as I can and how he's affected my life. That's basically our job. And in it, he gets glorified by using something the enemy tried to corrupt in the beginning at the garden, but God still has a plan to use. He uses you every day. He uses me every day.
Yeah. And I think you're hitting right on. You see, the problem that I think that we have, Frady, is that we're in the midst of, every one of us, myself included, when we get frustrated, when we get beside ourselves, it's one sin in our own personal life, because the truth is, if I've done something that's objectionable to the Word of God, and there are people that say, well, you know, sin, I got pastors out there, that friends of mine, that say, oh, you know, I don't sin no more. Well, let me tell you, the Bible says if you say you have not sinned, then you make God to be a liar.
You are doing a lot of it.
and so the bottom line is we're in a sinful world that affects us, and that we might not by nature anymore be sinners, because the truth is we've got a new nature. But the bottom line is sin pervades the world, and whenever we're not walking with God, we're not walking in line with God, and that we're not, which means that we're living in the flesh, we're not living in the Word, we're not believing the Word of God, then we're subject to fear, because we're not believing all God says. And what God says is that he's got a good plan, he's got a finish. You know, if let's say, take for instance, those three, my dad used to be a real estate, before he went to the Lord, was a real estate agent, real estate broker, and of course there's these three guys in the Bible called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He used to call them my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. But that, you know, that if we take a look at chapter 3 of Daniel, and if we say, listen, that you need to be fearful, because if you don't do what you're supposed to do, or all this sort of stuff, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar is going to throw you in that flaming furnace. But they had a right view of the world, that they understand that there was sin in the world, but they knew that they weren't supposed to fear anything, including what man could do to them. And so they responded. It says, you know, yeah, you're right, King Nebuchadnezzar, but it might be so. But if it be so, our God whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of that, out of your hand, O King. But then he says, but if not. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not bow down, we will not serve thy gods, nor will we worship that golden image which you set up. So, you know, they recognize that even if God did not deliver them from this earthly, you know, famine or flood or CRT or problem that we got out there, he said that we're not going to bow down, because that we know that God, we're not going to fear, because we know that God has a great ending plan for us. We don't know what it is sometimes, but we know that he's got a great planned ending, and so he's in control. So that's where we need to start changing our focus. That, you know, that as we're going through these problems that we're going to probably go through in the next couple, 2-3 months, next 6 months, next year, because we're at the end of the age, that we need to recognize the reason we're going through this is because there's sin in the world, but that we're not supposed to fear. Because why? Because God's got a plan, that he's in control, and that he's got a great plan to redeem all things, bring his son back, put him up for rulers, and let us rule and reign with him for eternity. You know what I'm saying, Tony?
And you're saying something really important, and I want to clarify my perspective on this a little bit. I believe God is in control. I do not believe God is controlling my personality. I believe God has been doing this process where the enemy deceived in the beginning, and now through us becoming more of a reflection of him, understanding who he is in me, the enemy is defeated by the same thing he tried to corrupt with God. God wants us involved. And I'm going to say something radical. How many people out there, there's a gas shortage. How many people out there are believers enough to say something crazy like, and it's not crazy, it's biblical. Lord, help my car get better gas mileage. Show how you are for me, Lord. Be with me in a different way. He wants a relationship with you where it's like you talking to the dad you love very much, and he wants the best for you, and he's trying to guide you. In the process, we don't seem to... It says, my people suffer for lack of knowledge. You have not because you ask not. Well, I believe that's true, but I also believe it's in the position of faith you're in. You're pretty sure where you are right now, Steve. You exist right now in your business where you are right now because of what God's done with you in your life and how he's never left you through the process. Have you had bad things happen? A few. Have you struggled? A few. But you got through it with him and people that believe like you with him. That's what we're lacking right now in our nation.
Well, what we're lacking is, you're right, for a lack of knowledge. You see, the truth is that not only are we supposed to be getting through this, but the Bible tells us, you know, Peter tells us in 1 Peter, he tells us that we should rejoice in this. Mm-hmm. You said, what? Rejoice? Well, because if we know that there's sin and that we know that we're not supposed to fear, and the reason that we're not supposed to fear is because we got a great ending, is that Peter tells us that we need to rejoice, though, for a season, if need be, that we are in heaviness through manifold, I mean, like a whole bunch of temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, you know, what the Bible's telling us, you know, that we do suffer because of a lack of knowledge. The knowledge is that God's in control. You know, that what we need to do is start getting into the Word of God. And the Bible tells us, what Paul tells us in Romans, he says that we need to transform our minds, you know, daily, that we need to take every thought captive to the knowledge of Christ. We need to stop being fearful and start having love and power and recognize that we're on the winning team. You know, that that even for a moment, that, you know, Peter tells us, you know, that for a moment, you know, for a season, he says, that we might have some difficult time. And I'm not saying that you're going to be real excited about, you know, going through a famine or going through FEMA camps or nothing like that. But that it's temporary in nature. In the scope of things, it means absolutely zero except for what the opportunities you'll have to glorify our God in eternity. You know,
amen. We're going through tough times. We had a lot of fun when I was out there with you having barbecues in some of the rough times in the world. And what you're talking about is really important, because what he's trying to teach us is how to live as he wants us to live. Because in a tough time, maybe we're going to have more barbecues with friends and relatives where we share our food back and forth. Who knows? But he wants us to learn not to be afraid of the circumstances. Learn how to use the circumstances to give him the authority and glorify him to work in your life. You have to give him permission to work in your life. He doesn't want robots. He wants believers. He doesn't want robots. He wants people who are faithfully in love with him. Pure and simple.
Yeah. Let me pay a few bills here. That Alliance Legal Group is the sponsor of this program. That you can get a hold of us at www.debtfreeva.com. That we do a lot of bankruptcies, a lot of debt workouts, a lot of people going through those kind of problems right now. We're a Christian vision mission law firm, and that we care about you, that we want to share Jesus every chance we get, but that we also recognize that that you've got some daily issues that need resolution. So come see us at www.debtfreeva.com. Go to our website, that you'll set up an attorney directed appointment with you over the internet. We'll be able to analyze your problem. Usually within 10 or 15 minutes, we'll be able to give you a free consultation over the phone or by Zoom, whatever
meet your fancy, or even in the office. You can come on in, no charge whatsoever, to just review your situation. And again, hopefully we'll find a good solution for you, help you through whatever you're going through. Again, that's www.debtfreeva.com, and that go to our website, and we would like to try to help you. Brady, what have you got out of this so far? What's your takeaway so far?
To my takeaway from personal, is you are correct. You know, God does have it in control no matter what. Like, I know what I meant, you know, frustrations and all that, but you are correct. No matter, God has it. I know that. I live every day knowing that no matter what I go through or what struggles I may have or anyone else has, I know in the end that God is in control. God has my back, and I know where I'm going to end up, all because I believe in Jesus Christ and I follow his teachings the best I possibly can.
Amen. You know, Tony, I don't know about you, Freddie, but Tony's a big movie buff. I'm not so much, but, you know, I've seen Star Wars. I know Tony's probably seen Star Wars like 10 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple times.
I'm a pretty huge Star Wars fan myself. I have a Star Wars t-shirt for every day of the week.
Okay, so you could probably help me if I mess this up. But, you know, I remember watching the Star Wars, you know, thing, and, you know, way back in the day, you know, I don't mean to, you know, I don't want to mess up anybody who hasn't seen it yet, but I think most people have seen it. So that, you know, and there's that Luke Skywalker, right? And, you know, he's, what do they call him, an X-Wing or something like that? And everybody's kind of, you know, the first time you watch it, everybody's seeing that X-Wing, you know, it's near the end of the show, and it doesn't look good for the, what's the Federation, you know, the Rebels. It doesn't look good for the Rebels. But here's Luke Skywalker, you know, he's got like a 1 in a million shot. He's got his X-Wing, and he's going against the Death Star. And, you know, he's flying right into the midst of that thing, and he's going to launch his torpedo and say, "Come on, Luke! I want you to do it," you know? Kind of hoping he's going to make this thing happen, because it's kind of a tense situation. And, of course, you know, the torpedo goes, and then boom, the Death Star gets obliterated, and you go, "Woo, that was great," you know what I'm saying? It was a good ending of the show. And you go, "Wow, that was super, you know, that was awesome." You get a really good feeling. You just go, "Wow, that was a great movie." And so, you know, the second time you watch it, Tony, go ahead.
What I want to remember maybe too is there's two terms: the dark side and the force. Remember that?
Yeah.
I always look for where's God hidden in these movies, and that's my interpretation of where God's hidden. Because if you remember when Luke launched the rocket, he's talking to the force. He actually closes his eyes when he go back and watch the movie. He closes his eyes at the moment he launches the rocket. So he's trusting that something beyond himself is going to launch that rocket and hit the target.
That's right. And
most
so the
rocket.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's a good point. Like I said, you're a movie buff. I knew you'd probably pick that up. And then, of course, that torpedo, whatever it is, goes into that Death Star, and boom, it all goes. And the second time you watch it, you know, you kind of know the ending. So, you know, you go through it, and you start looking forward to it. You know, you say, "Huh, this is the part where Luke's going to take the Skywalker, you know, the X-Wing, and, you know, we're going to win." You know, so by the third or fourth time, you say, "Man, this is good. You watch this. This is the finale. You bring your friends to it, you know, and say, this is the part you want to watch. You know, you don't want to bust the movie for them." But, you know, and it starts becoming, you know, the ending of the story is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? You know the end of the story, that the good guys win, that the Death Star gets destroyed, and good prevails. And see, that's the problem. See, right now, we've got that same story, Tony. You know, the bottom line is that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've given your life over to him, that the Death Star has already been destroyed. The torpedo has already been launched, and it's just like the fourth or fifth or 28th time you've seen the movie. It's going to happen, and so you might as well bring your friends. You know, so we need to stop being fearful that we see all this stuff going on, because, you know, in that movie, all the way up and through there, it's not good news for the Rebels. You know, the Rebels aren't doing too good in big part of that movie. You know, that the Darth Vader and the dark side, like you're saying, you know, that it's not going good. But the truth is in the end, everything's good. We know that the sin is in the world, but that we don't need to be fearful because we got the book and that we know what's going on. And then we've got our own ending. You know, in Revelation chapter 21, you know, the Bible tells us, it says that, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and
This is the end of the book. This is the end of the story. This is after, Luke Skywalker's torpedo. It says, they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It's like pretty saying that he's got your back. He's going to be with you. He's got this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. The Death Star is gone. It's gone. It's obliterated. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things be passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. You know, and so that's the reason we have this show, Frady, is because we want people to recognize that this is the last days. And that there's sin in the world. And we talk about sin every week. We talk about how terrible it is. You know, you name it, the globalist, Yuval Noah Harari and his transhumanism craziness and all that kind of stuff. And the globalist and Klaus Schwab and, bad governors and bad people doing bad things to everybody. And so we know that there's sin in the world, but that what gets us through, what needs to be the direction that we go on this, is to take Jesus' words that we shouldn't fear any of them. Don't fear them that can kill the body but can't do nothing with the soul. Because the bottom line is we've got a good ending. Go ahead, Tony.
We have to understand that the goal of the enemy is to get us, and I'm going to say this because you brought up a very good point with Star Wars. I'm surprised. I think the Lord really wants things to be brought to a certain understanding. Star Wars, the saga, is not released in chronological order. Episode 1, 2, and 3 were the last three released. So the order of the story, if you go back and watch it, is out of sequence. That's what they keep trying to do with our understanding of the gospel. They keep trying to change our understanding of the story so they can discredit the story, because you're fighting someone who's been around forever. Evil's been around since the beginning of creation. God's been around before that. So it knows the story of man very well, and it knows our weaknesses. It wants us to take things out of chronological order. We have to understand God's given us the ability and a sound mind to trust with him that he's not going to ever leave us. Psalms 118:8, trust in man, not in God. Center verse of the Bible, the very center verse of the whole entire gospel. Trust in God, not in man. We tend to trust a lot of things we hear more than things we should know and we should verify. And I believe if we verified it through the eyes of the gospel, a lot of things wouldn't be as easy to twist our minds or to twist our thoughts.
What's your thoughts, Frady? What are you taking out of this thing?
I mean, I'm taking out of exactly what Tony's saying. He's right. It's nowadays everything's being twisted. And if we just read the Bible and kept our eye on God, we would all be much, much better in this world.
And don't be afraid to talk about it. See, the biggest fear now is people are afraid to talk about the gospel in public. People, you can't believe how people look at me when I'm walking through a Walmart and I'm talking to Steve or Jeff on the phone about the gospel. And I'm quoting scripture verse and I'm reviewing scripture verse as I'm going through my shopping experience. They look at me like I'm literally lost my mind. But it's normal for me, right? And I'm walking around, not in fear, not with a mask on, not afraid of COVID. I've experienced whatever that was, not big a deal. So I'm living in a place where most people would like to be. They don't quite know how to get there, and I hope and I pray that my example might get them there, might show them. They might ask a question, and who knows what the answer to that question is, and I've had them do it. Has anyone noticed in your area that the glasses are coming down? The glass barricades are dropping off now in a great number.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I went to a doctor's office and didn't have to wear a mask last week. I went and got a biopsy done. Didn't have to wear a mask. No one yelled at me. Things are slowly, and now the thing is, something else has got to come, though.
You remind us that the Bible says that the Lord's people are destroyed for a lack of wisdom. The issue is that we have Reagan said that it only takes one generation to lose your freedom. And we have several generations, in fact, many generations that have departed from God. The fool says in his heart, the Bible says in Psalm 14, The fool says in heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. I mean, that sounds exactly like the people that we see out there. There is no one who does good. That's our society today. There's sin in the world. And again, that the way we get through this is we fear not, because the Bible then says, the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, who seek good, and they've all turned away. They've all become corrupt. There's no one that does good. And then the Bible says, do all these evildoers know nothing? They said they devour my people as though they eat as though eating bread. They never call on the Lord. But then, you know, the Bible tells us that in a moment they are overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed with dread. You know, there's going to come a day, Tony, that the Bible tells us that's going to happen. That he is going to appear, and they're going to say, oh, hide us from the face of the Lamb. You know, they're going to have a recognition of everything that they could possibly feared of has come true, that Jesus is going to come back and judge righteously. It's like Psalm 2. You know, that why do the heathen rage? You know, the kings of the earth, they know nothing. And so, you know, what we need to do is, as opposed to being hateful or... Because the reason that people are hateful is because we're fearful. We fear them, and so that we justify our hate as a way to get rid of them. The bottom line is that we have to have a spirit of even love for these, because they're God's creations. I mean, that Yuval Harari, trust me, I don't think he's a very nice person, and he's definitely not saved, and he's an atheist, and he hates God, and that, you know, that whatever God's going to do to him, you know, I'm going to go with David in his imprecatory psalms. But the bottom line is, I hope he gets saved. I hope he gets saved. I think there might come a point in time in his life that if there was a possibility of God giving him the grace, I don't know, he's pretty hardened. In fact, you know, Yuval Harari, I mean, he's the epitome of a satanic talk. You know, I mean, if there's anybody that was ever, I mean, this expressed like a position of Antichrist, it's probably him. But, you know, I really do hope that he gets saved. I think that'd be awesome. I think that'd be great. I don't hate him. I certainly don't fear him. I pity him. You know, just like, I pity the fool. You know, there's a fool that says in his heart there's no God. You know, how silly, how crazy, how stupid can you be to think you can download your brain and your soul on a hard disk? I mean, my goodness. So we only have about how much time left, Brady?
We have five minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes left.
Seven minutes. 5 minutes on WH.
Can I inject something real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, just real quick. In Philippians, it says pray without ceasing. And everyone says, well, how do you pray without ceasing? What does that mean? How do you pray continuously? Well, I believe it's because our understanding of prayer has been changed to an event versus a relationship. It says prayer, a reverent petition made to God, the act of making a reverent petition to God, the act of communication on a regular basis with God. So what he's saying is, Jesus said, I only do what my dad says to do, what my father says to do. I only say what he says to say. So what he's saying is, at every moment of the day, I'm not letting myself guide my thoughts. I'm turning them over to God and communicating with Dad every day, so he leads me in my thoughts. And I think that's the biggest thing people can take away, is it's time to start thinking about a relationship with God, your dad. Start thinking Amen. About a relationship you don't have, or you may have part of it. Like, you may be saved, but you may not. You may be afraid to talk to God for whatever reason. It says, I'm righteous, not by anything I did, by my Father's willingness to sacrifice for me. So the blessing of my righteousness is because of an act of God. So I'm not righteous. I'm made righteous by him. So I shouldn't fear communicating with him.
Yep. Brady, I'm going to let you say a couple more words, and then we'll start landing this plane. Any thoughts?
I mean, no, nothing more than you already filled up. I agree with Tony. I mean, people need to... Definitely, and you all get right with Jesus if they're not already. Like you said, even being saved doesn't mean you're right with Jesus. We all know how that goes, and sometimes some people think just from the baptism that. So we definitely need to get right with Jesus, read the word, you know, and not be afraid to tell folks, because ultimately we want to save everybody so that they can join us at the pearly gates.
You know, I think you make a good point there, Freddie. You know, that I'm here at this conference, and these are Christian attorneys, businesses, and things of that nature. And that they all, you know, I still ask everybody, you know, if you die today, would you go to heaven? And if they say yes, then I say, if so, how come? And I hear so many people saying, well, you know, I got baptized back in the day, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, I was raised in a Christian family, you know, and they love God. You know, they obviously love God. They wouldn't be here fighting Christian battles, you know, battles for the faith, because if they hated God, they love God. But that lots of times people ain't saved. You know, that they have a knowledge of God, but they don't have the power of God. And that comes from being born again. And so, I got 4 minutes by my clock. You get 1 minute, then I'll close up on this thought. Go ahead.
Listen to what he's saying. You people suffer for lack of knowledge. The knowledge that's being brought out right now is you may not be all that you think you are and a cup of tea. You may have to humble yourself and go back and reestablish your relationship with God and get out of the relationship with the world. Don't be crowd sensitive. Be godly sensitive.
Yeah, and let me just finish up on that. So that, you know, that the bottom line is it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. We're all bad people. We're all good people in the sense of comparing ourselves to other people. But the question is whether or not that you're a born-again person. And if you don't remember the point in time where you got born again, or you're not sure that you are born again, that means that the very spirit inside you has been quickened. There came a point in time in your life that the way you get born again is that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You say to God, listen, Jesus, you're Lord, and you're my Lord. You are the boss, and I'll be your servant. You know, that I could commit my life to you. Because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, he doesn't say you, and that means that, so you believe the whole gospel account where God sent his son into a woman named Mary, had a baby boy named Jesus. This baby boy named Jesus came to pay for the sins of the world, became one of us, became a human sacrifice, went to the cross 33 years later, died for the sins of the whole world, was buried in 3 days, rose again, is in heaven today, and that we're down to 2 minutes. And so the bottom line is if, and then it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that person is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God did pay for the sins through the sacrificial death of that man, burial, resurrection, and raising to heaven, and that he's coming back someday. If you believe those, he says you will be saved, not might be saved. If that quickening hasn't happened, if you're not sure, you don't remember it, I mean, my goodness, if you're married, you remember when you said the vows that got you married. If you don't remember when you said the vows that got you saved, lock it in. Nail it down. After this program, just say, Jesus, I've nailed down the fact that you're my Lord and you died for me, and then make it public. Get baptized. The baptism won't save you, like Freddie was saying. It's not the baptism that saves you. It's the commitment that saves you. Baptism is just an outward expression of that inward truth, that first act of obedience. Folks, we're down to 1 minute. God bless you, that I appreciate you. And the way that you'll have that born-again power is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Live and act like you are saved, because you are, and you know the ending. Don't be fearful. Tell others about Jesus. Live a life consecrated to God. And when you mess up, the bottom line is that he still loves you, and that get back on the track and finish well. God bless you, folks. Take care. This is Steve Taylor. This is Last Days News. There's sin in the world, but Jesus says, don't be fearful. He's got a good ending. And with that, take care. God bless. And we'll see you next, I guess, Thursday at 12:30. Take care until then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Faith and Freedom Network, sponsored by Steve Taylor and the Alliance Legal Group, Hampton Roads hometown attorney for more than 30 years. For more information, you can contact them at debtfreeva.com. That's debtfreeva.com. And tune in every Tuesday and Thursday right here on The Lighthouse for Faith and Freedom Network.